Good morning. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Dawn Smith in this morning, Executive Director of Charter Senior Living. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for being here today. So tell me what Charter Senior Living is.
Okay, so Charter Senior Living of Cookeville is we're pretty small community, a small assisted living community. We have 45 apartments. We are pet friendly, which makes it sets us apart a little bit from others. We provide assisted living care to our elders who are in this community, and also from as far away as Wisconsin and across the United States.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing people who are from the north, I would not want to retire. I'm from Michigan, and I would not want to retire in Michigan or live in an assisted facility where there's snow every day all winter long.
What we've found is a lot of our neighbors there at Charter they were tough enough to brave the winters. Their kids, however, were over it, and so they've moved down south.
To be closer to the family.
Yes, yeah. And so now then mom and dad will come and join them.
How long have you been in this position, Dawn?
I have been at Charter of Cookeville for 13 years.
Wow.
Yes.
And what was your background to make you want to be the executive director? To me, in a assisted living facility is similar to teaching, where you have to just have that heart and that knack for this kind of community. So what was the drive to get involved with something, you know, to work in a place like this?
So I firmly believe that anybody who is successful in assisted living, nursing, especially nursing homes, is called to do that. And so I do believe that was a calling. My first job out of while I was in high school, much like your daughter in the front, I was 14. I worked at the senior center in Livingston in Overton County. And so I would do activities in the afternoon, and I worked in the morning, and then worked in the kitchen in the afternoon. And so that was kind of a little bit of foreshadowing, I guess, for my life, because when I was 16, I became a CNA. And I worked as a certified nursing assistant for several years after that in different nursing homes. And then I worked as a welder at a local...
totally took a left turn there.
Yes, at a local factory. And then when that factory closed, this was during the NAFTA region span. And so our factory closed and went to Mexico, and I was able to go to school after that. So I had decided I was doing like paralegal pre-law stuff. I thought that that's what I wanted to do. But I was a non-traditional student because I was 30 years old. And so it hadn't happened, you know, right out of high school. And then life happened and I decided to move away from that. And I was actually working three jobs at the time. And one of them was at what used to be Morningside in the kitchen part-time. And I will not lie, I despised it. That was one of the hardest jobs I have ever had in my life. I love my kitchen team because they are amazing. They're wonderful cooks. They're thick-skinned like they need to be. They're amazing. But that was absolutely not for me. So I could not wait to get out of the kitchen, and I became a night shift caregiver, and we had a memory care unit. And that turned into be something that I absolutely loved and adored. I loved keeping them engaged and helping take care of them, and they taught me so much. And then I was actually an activity director for a while and away from Morningside, and then I came back as their activity director. I was then forced at this time to have a promotion to the business office manager. Did not think I would like any of that bean counting stuff or those numbers, but I actually loved it. It was very, very much in my wheelhouse, and I didn't even realize it. And then
who do you think in that process, who was this kind of, can you pinpoint a person who pushed you into that, you know, leadership role, directing things, kind of management? I mean, there's a big difference between working in the kitchen and being on the business side of things.
I think probably Philip Moser. Mm-hmm. He was the regional director of operations for us when we were with Five Star. And he just believed in me, and he locked, he said he liked my leadership style, which I didn't even realize I had at the time. And he gave me opportunities to help out with other communities and be interim director in some different places, some huge places. Like I said, we're 45 units, and I was at one in Belmont that was 109 units, I believe, if my memory serves correctly. But he just believed in me.
And do you think you would have pushed, I think personality is really interesting to see who's kind of leading things, who's executive directors, who's becoming CEOs and presidents of organizations. Do you think if you hadn't had Philip kind of pushing you and saying, I see in you something you don't see in yourself, would you have gone for those kind of jobs or?
No, I think that, I don't know, maybe eventually, but I will say that growth is hugely important. And we've always called it recycling. You know, I've been recycled from the kitchen to several other things. But I believe that with his support and with just the fact that he just trusted me, he saw something in me that I didn't realize was there, I think. But I think that that mentorship is huge. And I think that helping others grow, and he saw in me, you know, we had an executive director at that time. And he, you know, there was a possibility that I could outgrow them. And he didn't care about that. He cared about my success. And I hope I bring that to my team, too, because we have had several outgrow us and move on to bigger and better things. And that is beautiful. It's wonderful. I want that for them. You know,
there's probably a little part, you know, for anybody who's listening that's leading an organization. And they're like, I'm a terrible person because I feel a little heartbroken that this person's leaving me. It's not without some amount of feeling, right?
Oh, my gosh.
The people that you love and you pour into the most, and you're like, oh, no, now they're spreading their wings and flying away.
That's true. But I think that if we look at – I think it's from where I came from and saw what he did for me. I think if we look at them in that light and that we are a stepping stone for them. And, you know, not everybody that comes to work at Charter Senior Living in Cookeville is going to retire from there. I hope I do.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of young, energetic, talented people who come to work for us. And I want them to tell me what their goal is, because I want that in the back of my mind when I'm growing them, so that I'm not so dependent on them in that role that I can't see life without them. I want to be able to see them succeed, and I want that for every one of them.
If you think back to 10-year-old Dawn, what did you think 10-year-old Dawn was going to be doing?
10-year-old Dawn was barefoot, playing in the dirt, and I think she probably, I don't know, maybe back then sang. I sang all the time with the radio.
Yeah. So. It's interesting. I love the fact that someone else was able to help mold your career path, your life, and then you get to impact all these other people where... you know, I was the kind of kid that I always just wanted to be in charge. I like to be bossy. I like to be in charge. Okay. And so I always wanted to like take all the opportunities I could have. And I think you have just kind of like put one foot in front of the other and you're like, oh, okay, I guess I'll do this. I guess I'll do this. I guess I'll do that. And you've been able, I mean, how many employees do you currently have on your
30.
Team? 30 employees. And so, you know, you get to impact these 30 employees. And then, like you said, they go and they have their own ripple effect at other places. Do you ever kind of reflect that? In 13 years, I'm sure that you've come in contact with a lot of different employees. And then, and we'll talk in a second about just the residents that you have living there too, and what you can impact on them. But do you think about the people over the years that you've impacted and how your ripple has kind of affected other communities as well?
I honestly don't dwell on that a whole lot, but I do think about, you know, those that have been with us who have been so successful at our community and how much they helped us through some, you know, some difficult times, including COVID and different things that we've gone through, and, you know, water leaks and food shortages, you know, all these things that they've helped us through, and they've grown through those. But I don't dwell on it a lot. You know, you do miss them from time to time. But the fact is, if you do the right thing and you hire the right people and you put them in the right spot, then you're going to be okay, regardless of who it is in that position. Now, that's not to say that people can be replaced, because I haven't ever replaced anybody, but I've had to fill that spot.
Yeah.
And so it's just life.
What do you do to keep kind of fresh and make sure that you're doing the best you can? You know, over 13 years, you can probably kind of do most of the job in your sleep. You've been doing it for a long time. So how do you kind of stay fresh with what's going on?
Well, I'll say, first of all, that my faith is very important to me. And I firmly believe that if you work like you're working for Christ, that you're going to be successful. And so I want to have integrity, and I want to be honest, and I don't want anybody to be afraid to come with me for anything. And then I think too that with that, and with being, you know, one trying to be one in Christ, there's always growth, mm-hmm. and it's sometimes uncomfortable. But I think that you have to put away old ways of thinking and realize that hiring today was not the same as it was hiring 13 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I can remember before I ever even had the activity director job, that was my first big jump. And that was my first job in management. And I absolutely did not think I was worthy to have it and would not get it. But then I excelled at it. And
well, and then you get to take that, you know, faith-based leadership style and impart that on other people, where how many other people have worked with you and felt like they were not deserving of a job that they were, you know, received, or a promotion or a fit that you saw where somebody can grow a lot. And so you're helping instill growth in other people.
I feel like that, that with the, you're talking about faith-based, I just think that if we continue to work like we're working for the Lord, then we're going to always want something better for someone else who's with us. And I'm never going to not let the light shine on someone who needs that light shone on them, because I'm afraid somebody will steal them away from me. I will not do that. Yeah. I will let that light shine. And if they want to move on past me, then I'm going to congratulate them.
Well, and I think then, you know, you have the faith that the next person will come around. And
absolutely.
I like the fact that you said, I've never replaced anybody. I had to fill that spot, but I've never replaced anybody. So it's not like you're saying you have somebody better, but, you know, it works enough that you have somebody that can be different and add other assets
absolutely.
And values to the team.
Yes.
We'll be right back. So Larry just did. Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I'm Dawn Smith, Executive Director of Charter Senior Living today. So running an assisted living center, you know, we've talked a lot about your team and the people that are helping you work there, run the place. But really, your residents are the heartbeat of this facility.
Absolutely.
And I feel like you keep going back to community. So what's the pull there to create this community for these residents?
Well, first of all, I don't know how we got so blessed. We have the best residents on the planet there. I'm telling you, they're amazing. And I think part of the success isn't that we're so small, because I know every resident's name in there. I know their children's names. They know my name. They all have my cell phone number. Mm-hmm. And I know I only have 30 employees, so I know all of their names too. And I'm invested in their lives, if they're going to be having children or if they're going back to school, those types of things. And in my residents, I'm invested in their lives too. Do they have new grandchildren? You know, do they? Is there something in the paper that reminds me of what they did for a living? You know, are there just different things. It's just, we're small enough to where we want more than a superficial relationship with those that we care for, because we work in their house, and we want to be more than just help to them. We want to be there for them.
So with assisted living, my grandparents are living in an assisted living facility in Michigan. They have their own apartment. They have a garage. They have their own kitchen. But there's kind of different levels, where then there's an indoor area where you have, you know, you don't have to be outside and you're just in a room and it's not a garage. And then there's really where you have 24/7 care. So what kind of options do people have that are living with you?
Okay, so that sounds like a campus, what we've called a campus or a CCRC. And so that is continuing care. So that maybe starts with independent, goes down to, then we move up to assisted living, and then up even further to memory care. And some CCRCs mm-hmm. even have a skilled unit available to them there. We are strictly assisted living. And that being said, some of the folks that live there with us are still going on vacation. They're still leaving every day. They, you know, still have their vehicles. The only difference in them and me is when they come home from vacation, somebody's made their bed and we're cooking for them. And then we have folks that, because we embrace the concept of aging in place, that's very, very important to us, and it's very, very important to our families and to our neighbors there at Charter. So what our goal is that if Tiffany comes to live with us at an assisted living level, we want her to be able to stay with us till she goes on to be with the Lord, you know, till she transitions. And so we provide different levels of care in that assisted living. We actually have 5 levels of care that we can move through. Mm. And it starts at very basic. Everyone that lives there gets the traditional 3 meals a day plus snacks, schedule local transportation. We do full housekeeping and laundry. And then we have a plethora of activities and a wonderful activity director who keeps us all very busy and hopping. All of that's included. And then as Miss Tiffany ages, she may need a little more help with, say, bathing or dressing or medication management. Those are 3 of the big ones. And we can absolutely assist with that. We have caregivers there 24 hours a day. And even though we're considered a non-nursing facility, we actually have nurses in our building 16 hours a day.
So there is some medical knowledge that is based on there. So the 5 different levels. So then what's kind of the last level that, I mean, is somebody in their home 24/7 with your residents?
At assisted living, we will never be able to provide one-to-one care with someone. However, we do partner with hospice. Mm. And so hospice can provide that additional support that the family needs along with us. We're not pulling our support back. We're going to help them to support them. And most of the time, we're very successful with that. It's a hard thing to talk about, but it's also, it's part of life, and it can be a sad but beautiful thing.
Well, and I think that we all think, I mean, it's a guarantee we're all going to pass away someday. And then thinking of that, I mean, I would love to just be, you know, 85 and I, you know, walked 5 miles yesterday and I just wake up. I don't wake up one day, but not all of us are able to live like that. And, you know, there are times where life can just get lonely when you're living 100% by yourself. And if your kids are, you know, not near, or you don't have kids. And there are some situations where living in an assisted living is the right move. I'm guessing often me as a mom, I just recently got married, but I was a single mom of 2 kids, thinking of having someone clean my bed sheets and cook my, I'm like, I want to live in an assisted living facility.
Yes.
But I am also, you know, 42 years old. And so there's not this loss of freedom or independence that I have to admit to say those things. So how do you help people make that decision and know when the timing is right for an assisted living situation?
So you really hit on something there, and that is losing our identity. And a lot of times that looks like we feel like we're going to be losing our independence or our autonomy. And this is what I tell people. So we can exist anywhere. We can absolutely exist in a 4,000 square foot home with people running back and forth, you know, taking care of us or whatever. Or we can exist in a cracker box surrounded by junk as long as it's all our junk. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it takes a little extra support to actually live life. And that's what we're doing. We're helping our folks to live. And, you know, you can become lonely even if you are living with your children. Mm. I've lost both of my parents. And I know toward the end of my mom's life, it was very important to her to have her friends around. And she would get lonely for them. And I'm like, well, Mom, we see you all the time. And she would say, yeah, but who can I talk about my kids to if you're the only ones I ever see? And I'm like, well, you know what? That's right. How can she complain?
It's kind of like, you know, you need your girlfriends to talk about your husband about.
So. Absolutely. Yes.
I can imagine that that is a very difficult situation. But instead of being, you know, living in, even if you're living in a smaller area, a smaller apartment, it's just the community of having like-minded people kind of around,
having your peers around, and also having someone to prod you just a little bit, because sometimes we need a little bit of extra push to actually, you know, get up out of the bed in the morning. Once I can't, you know, I'm looking forward to retirement, I'm not going to lie. So I'm hoping that I'll have enough things to keep me busy. But what we see a lot of times is that people lose the motivation to actually live and do the things that they did before because they honestly don't have to anymore. And you're not going to have to when you come to live with us. But if I see you and 7 other people loading up like they did yesterday to go to the Cumberland County Playhouse to watch Hairspray, mm-hmm. I'm probably going to be jealous that I didn't get to go watch Hairspray.
Yeah.
So I know that there's a lot more to living than just existing. And also what we can do for the families of our loved ones is we help keep them independent of them for care. And so my mom used to, she had a very flowery speech, and I sound like cornbread, I know this, but she would say, if she liked something, she'd say, "I get my jollies doing that." Well, I can remember telling her one time, if you think I get my jollies from telling you, you know, what to do, like making sure you've taken your medication and have you tried the yogurt, you know, those type of things, she was wrong. I didn't get my jollies doing that. No child wants to do that to their parents. Mm-hmm. We're going to take that off of you. We'll do the heavy part. We'll do the ugly part. I've got wonderful, fantastic nurses that can take care of all those things for us. And you just come over and visit mom.
Well, and so is that awkward for a family kind of gathering? So these are independent apartments that people are living in? Or
they each have an individual apartment, yes. So they maintain their autonomy. Now, we do have six companion suites where they actually share a bath and a living area, but everybody has their own private bedroom with a lock.
And in those companion suites, there's this like beautiful, like, oh, that could be like best friends, mm-hmm. or that could be. So what kind of situations do you have living in those six?
I'll be honest with you. The whole community is their home. And a lot of our folks use their apartments just when they have company. They're mm-hmm. living in the whole house.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We'll be right back. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. I have Don Smith in this morning, Executive Director of Charter Senior Living. So right before the break, you mentioned everybody has their own individual apartment or sleeping quarters, but they really use the whole house. So is this one big kind of indoor facility that when you're walking out your apartment door, you're still kind of inside the building?
Yes, we are all under one roof. We have 45 apartments under one roof.
So 45 apartments. What other, there's got to be some place that these, you know, activities go on.
Yes.
What else is in this facility?
Okay, so of course we have our central, or it's not central, but it is our dining hall where mm-hmm. Our folks take their meals. And then we have two large gathering rooms. One is set up more like a living room, but it has a sunroom on the outside, on the backside of it that leads to our patio, which has covered umbrellaed tables out there. We have a huge front and side porch that people take advantage of all the time. And then we have our other large gathering room is actually where we do a lot of crafts and poker night is back there. Mm-hmm. They do dominoes and stuff. So that's back there. And then we have a small library.
Any exercise classes? Again, my grandparents, I've gone to their, which I feel like I'm 10 when I go to their community that they live in. I've gone to some exercise classes, chair exercise classes, and you know, my grandparents will say, this is my granddaughter, and I'm like, hi, I'm 40, but
yeah,
you know,
but I'm doing this.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just fun to kind of be the grandkid again.
We do. Our activities, actually, our program is called Life Enrichment, and it hits mm-hmm. on seven different levels of, or seven different aspects of aging, and one of them is physical, and we do something physical every single day. So we have exercise every single day, and some of that looks like my activity director, her name is Cheyenne. Some of that looks like I don't really know what it looks like, but it is loud and it is boisterous, and she has a room full. And at some point, they're all, I don't know, they're doing a chant or something. It sounds wild. And then twice a week, we actually partner with Deaconess is actually partnered with us to, we have a therapist that comes, and his name is Sage, and he does exercise. He leads an exercise group with our folks twice a week.
That's fantastic. Do you think because you've been in the aging community for so long of your career that you've kind of picked up tips and tricks and the things that you need to do to age better as well?
Yes.
Is your family like, oh gosh.
Yes. No, it's really wild. Myself, I turned hit the 50 last year. My nursing director hit 50 last year, and my dietary manager hit 50 last year. They both hit it before I did, so they're older than I am. But
looking at that,
absolutely not. But looking at that and seeing, you know, just how it is with the different things, you know, that your own physician's telling you to do, and then you see what these diseases and processes do for our elders because you've watched it. You're like, oh, yeah, getting old is not for sissies.
Yeah, no. Well, and I think there's things, little things you can do. My mother-in-law used to do puzzles all the time, mm-hmm. And I try and do crossword puzzles and just kind of keep your brain fresh. And I think that even though I'm 42 and I feel like I'm far away from, you know, hopefully an assisted living community, I think it's still good to start things and put things in place so that you do age with grace.
So it absolutely is. And one of the things that Charter Senior Living as a whole has embraced is a program called Total Brain Health. And they actually work in trimesters, and we're working on our second. We just graduated one, and we're working on our second one. And it is definitely knowledge-based, but it's also research-based, where it does and it's doing things that you wouldn't even think about doing, like, you know, I can't even tell you what all they do, repetitive things and things that aren't repetitive. And we're learning about different aspects of art and different things with hands-on and how that affects your brain. And so we definitely believe in that, too.
Well, one of the things you mentioned is that you try to be helpful to your family so that kids don't have to be the ones saying, Mom, take your medicine. Mom, did you go for a walk today? Mom, you got to change your clothes. So you try and help that. But some people might kind of want to be in that position. Some people have control issues.
Yes.
And so kind of how do you handle different situations differently with families, or do you just come in and here's our set rules? And
no. So we, regardless, our goal is to not have you having to be the heavy in these situations and us to do that. But we partner very strongly with families. We'll never know your mom like you know her. Nobody will ever know my mom like I knew her. And so we have to have that family support. And we have a wonderful group of families that do support us, because we're always going to have questions. We're always going to have backup. We're always going to have, you know, more information about a situation. And how would you handle this if mom didn't want to do this? You know, mm-hmm. So no, families are very important to us. And we also love to have our families with us. So we do things several times a year to where we invite all families to come in so that they're coming over to mom and dad's for a cookout or grandma's for a cookout, and those types of things. But
well, and I think that probably relates a little bit better to their younger years when you're in your 30s and your kids are young and you go to a cookout with the other families in your neighborhood and your kids all kind of interact together. As a kid, you're kind of like, I guess I can interact with these others. But, you know, I think it's nice when your parents, you never stop being a parent, even if your kids are adults, I'm sure. And you're proud of them and you want to show them off. And, you know, this is what this child does. And these are the grandkids that child's given me.
Yes.
And I'm guessing, too, that creating a home in a community, the holidays are something that you kind of have to lean into and embrace and create kind of an atmosphere for the holidays. We're near 4th of July. And so do you do activities? Do you lean into those holidays much?
We absolutely do. We're having a big cookout and we're inviting all the families and our community at large. Anybody that wants to come can come and eat with us. I am the grill master. And so I will be taking care of that. But we love to do that. And last year at Thanksgiving, we tried something new. I'd never done it before, and I was so excited to try it. But, you know, a lot of times when you try something brand new, you don't know. You're like, I don't know if this is going to work out or not. But we did a potluck like you would do at church.
Yeah.
Invited the families. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. We had tons of food, tons of family. We had tables sitting in the hallways. Tables. We had to take out the furniture in the living room. I mean, it was absolutely beautiful that people got to come and break bread with their mom and dad and their grandma and grandpa and meet new friends.
Yeah, and I think that that's creating that family. Everybody wants to it's still their home at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
This is where they're actually living.
Yep.
And so creating an atmosphere that is not just a sterile facility, that's not a hospital type of situation, it's important to kind of give that respect to the later years in life.
Absolutely. And I think that assisted living is beautiful in that concept. I've worked both skilled and assisted living. And the thing about assisted living is, first and foremost, it's their home. It's their house. Mm-hmm. And we partner with our ombudsman. We have a volunteer ombudsman that comes to every resident council that we have. He actually spoke at my last staff meeting. I appreciate him very much. His name's Ed Boucher. Throw out to Ed. But we want our residents to be at home and us to work in their home and whatever that looks like. Everybody that lives there is over 21 years old. They don't need somebody dictating, you know, what everyday life looks like. They need to be independent, and they're going to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as their home, our patio had that grill, same grill that I'm master over. If you want to come in and have a cookout for your family, absolutely. As long as I get an invitation. No, I'm just kidding. But we have families reserve our patios for their family, for their birthday parties, because it's bigger than a lot of their, you know, back porches and stuff. So, it's Granny's house.
Well, that I love that. So how can people find if they have family members that are kind of looking at that phase of life, and how can they get in touch with you or...
Okay, so we are at 1010 East Spring, and we do have a website, and it's just www.chartercookville.com. And
Charter Cookville, not the
cable, yeah, Charter Cookville, yes. but yeah, and they can just check that out. Stop by anytime and see us. And that's another thing about us is that if you ever just want to come and look around, we don't care what time it is. We have staff 24/7. You just show up and say, you know, I would like some more information about the community, and they'll schedule you a time that works for you with me, and we'll just look around and kind of find out what you're looking for.
So do you currently have open rooms, or do you have a waiting list at the moment? Or
we do have a waiting list right now. We just had an opening for a studio apartment that'll be ready around the 1st of July.
And do you... how far in advance, you know, when the other end of life, when you get pregnant, often you, right when you get pregnant, you have to find a childcare
yes.
facility. How far in advance do you kind of recommend people start thinking about this with their parents or grandparents?
Well, what I like to say to that is that do not wait until you can't take advantage of everything that we have to offer, because there are certain criteria that we have to meet according to the state of Tennessee in order for us to be able to meet your needs. And so don't think about this as I'm going to wait till I can't, you know, bathe myself, or I can't, you know, go to the grocery store by myself, or those things to come and take advantage of the lifestyle. I say, look as quick as you can, get those things in mind, decide what you want and what's important to you, because that's going to be the main thing. You have to find the fit that's best for you.
Well, and I think it's like when you have a headache and you're like, oh, I kind of have a headache. Should I take something? No. Okay. I'm not going to take it. And then by the afternoon you have a migraine and you're stuck in bed and you can't even open your eyes. If you wait until it's too late, you've been miserable for this whole time when life could have been a lot easier.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. And starting to have those conversations. I mean, there's part of me that wants to go and tour the facility right now.
Yeah, come on. Yes.
Say, okay, now I know down the road when I'm
yes,
ready.
This is important to me. Yes. Yeah, this is what I want. Yep.
Yeah. And I think that's something that you just don't think about when you're thriving and you're 60 and then you're in your late 60s and suddenly you're in your late 70s and you think, well, what? Now I am miserable. Now my value of life, living in a home by myself, taking care of everything, now it's not good, but it's, you kind of didn't prepare yourself.
I know. At some point, it just seems like our quality of life switches to just surviving it, you know, mm-hmm. just overcoming it. Like, you know, sometimes it becomes a pain just to do the dishes and make the bed. So
that makes sense. Well, thank you so much, Dawn, for being here today. Check out Charter Senior Living over on Spring Street in the heart of Cookville. And I'm so excited about whatever you have going on, and happy 4th of July to all your residents over there.
All right. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.